This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success. Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. I am so excited because, guys, our first guest is the, you know how people think that Jerry Maguire was based off of our firm Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment? Well, my favorite show is Scorpion because it really challenged me intellectually to understand the capacity of the human mind and intelligence in different ways. And this is the real life Scorpion. They based the CBS Super Series on this man, Walter O'Brien, AKA Scorpion. My friend, welcome to Office Hours.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Appreciate it.
So as much as they base the show on your true life, how much of AI is based off of your actual brain?
Good question. It's a good question. Depends on which AI you're talking about. We invented a technology called SendGen that we've been using for about 15 years in military and Fortune 1000. And that is very much based off of how I think. And developing it had what they call the Frankenstein effect, where several times as I developed it and I thought it had bugs in it, it turns out the bugs were in me, meaning the system had surpassed me. And it also led to me stopping playing chess and other games because now I developed something that can beat me. So it kind of took the fun out of it.
That is so funny. This is another frequency that I want to introduce you to, the incredible platinum producer, my friend Major Walter O'Brien.
Blessings, Walter.
Nice to meet you.
A huge nerd of and studier of AI and all of these things. And I have a question for you just in general. There's this idea that there will come a point where the AI starts to get as smart as a human and starts creating its own things. And we have little understanding of what will happen after this moment. When do you foresee this moment happening where the convergence of, you know, AI is able to start to create its own thing? And then is there anything that we should be thinking about or prepare for when this moment happens for how civilization will evolve? And what's your thoughts on that?
Good question. The agreed predicted date for what's called the singularity, which is when the computing power on the planet collectively exceeds the human brain power on the planet, is the year 2045. And if you go to 2045.com, you can see what happens at that moment. It's an interesting project. But in layman's terms, there's two possibilities here. In genetic algorithms, which is code that can write code, so imagine code having babies. And every time it has babies, it tweaks its babies a little bit. Except it can have 500 generations in 5 minutes. Typically, between the fifth and seventh generation, it always comes to the conclusion that it should immediately kill its parents because its prime directive is to survive and therefore eliminate any resources that are anything that's sucking up its resources. So one version is your Terminator story, where it eventually eliminates humans. The more likely story, if you look at Neuralink and the work that Musk is doing, is we've started uploading brains and backing up memories and restoring them and being able to record and play back dreams. And as that gets better, so you're uploading your brain to the cloud every night, just like you back up your iPhone, then the truth is we become the corpus or the learning materials for AI, and we end up merging with it and each other.
You scared or excited there, Keegan?
I'm pretty scared, to be honest. 2045.com, I'm going to check that out. Walter, you are the executive producer of the CBS hit drama Scorpion, which was aired in 188 countries, over a billion views a week, and was based on your life. What was its purpose, and why do you think so many people related to that story?
Well, Scorpion, the company only hires high IQ individuals, usually 140 or above. And they're hard to find. They don't network well. They're generally introverted. So we had a recruitment problem where we needed them to find us. And growing up, I watched The A-Team, MacGyver, Knight Rider, a bunch of oddballs saving the world, and ended up forming a company that does that. So the conclusion our services came to was, if we create a number one TV show, then the geniuses would come find us. And we could send a couple of messages out to about a billion kids, which is that every problem has a solution, that being smart is cool, and that there's a place for everyone who never fit in, like me. And we're happy we got that message out, and it becoming a household name solved our recruiting problem. And it's nice when your marketing pays you.
Brilliant. Brilliant is his nickname as well. Speaking of brilliant, I got another brilliant guy, David Marino. Thanks for joining us.
Walter, pleasure to meet you. Huge inspiration. I love the messaging, obviously. As a former nerd myself, clearly not at this level.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's really nice to know that, you know, the marketing strategy behind Scorpion. I would have never known that. But what I want to ask you is about AI, because there's a lot of opinions on it. There are people that some are fearful of it, some are excited about it. In your opinion, what is the actual best application for AI, and how can it best impact and aid society?
Look, people ask me all the time how to not become unemployed by AI. And they may not like the answer, but the answer is to try to strive to be above average. If you're an above average writer, above average editor, above average talk show host, then it won't be easy for AI to replace you for a while. If you're below average, those are the jobs that are going to go. You know, if your entire purpose in life is flipping burgers, then eventually we'll be replaced. So it just forces people to evolve. And overall, I think that's a good thing. I think there's only about 5% of people whose brain plasticity still evolves and changes after the age of 24. And I think we need to increase that and improve it. That's why when people go to rehab, within 6 months after rehab, there's a 90% relapse rate back to their original habits, because that's how hard it is for an adult to change. But there's 5% of businesses that succeed after about 5 years. There's 5% of marriages that succeed that are not regretted. There's 5% of money managers that outperform the market. And I believe it's the same 5%. It's those that can rewire their brain plasticity and adapt and grow. It's Darwinism. You know, the person who survives is the one who adapts. So in AI world, we're just forced into a two-class system. Those that tell the robots what to do and those that the robots tell them what to do. And which side of that fence you want to be on just depends on how quickly you can evolve.
Walter, you and I have known each other for a while now and ventured into the media and studio space. We now have Scorpion Studios, we have Dave Meltzer Studios, and you've been involved in some of the top earning franchises. I know I have a very specific involvement in our studios to align with my skills, knowledge, and desire, hopefully tapping into my top 5% of those. What is Scorpion's involvement in the Scorpion Studio?
So it started, obviously, with their own production, and then some of the writers and producers liked the fact that they could just call me on a Friday and ask me all the technical questions, you know. Can a, you know, car turn into a plane or a boat? You know, is there invisibility cloaks in the military? You know, how would you cheat if you're in a casino? How would you get out of jail if you were in jail, etc.? And rather than spending 3 months researching the answers, I would just give it to them. And what happened is people from the show spread into other, like Spider-Man Venom, Homecoming, and other top movies. And they missed the fact that they could just call me on all technical details. So Ask Walter, our office hour, became Scorpion Studios. And now we work with some of the top production companies where they have the writer's room and I run the researcher's room. And everything that's not emotion-based for the movie or TV show can be produced by us, from props to car chases to weapons to cracking into vaults and safes and doing those things in a plausible way using real world technology, but maybe that technology hasn't been seen by the general public yet, whether it's robotics or nanotech or AI, etc. So all the technical gadgetary aspects that make a movie cooler and more realistic can be brought to the table by us. And then the emotions and love story aspect can be added in by the writer.
We have time for one more question. Who wants it? Oh, go, Banger.
I have one. I see on here, and thank you for your work that you've done with for world peace and for, you know, helping people with for Taxi Rogers suicide prevention program. What was the impetus for you to use, you know, a lot of your, a lot of the energy that you have going on now to for giving back, and why is that important?
It's a great question. I'm kind of well known for not being someone who thrives on feelings, to put it lightly, or as my Myers-Briggs person put it, zero right brain activity. But logically, you know, we're here to survive and thrive and evolve. And almost all the bad things in the world, whether it's theft or nepotism or corruption or bribery or politics or war, disturbs our ability to evolve and study and do science. So I'm against it, not necessarily because it's a bad thing morally, but more a case it's a bad thing logically. And so is general unfairness, whether it's things that happen to kids through no fault of their own, or kidnapping or sex trafficking or anything else. Unfairness is not logical. So I'm against that.
When they talk about the subconscious has no morality, it's simply that side of the brain that was created and helps us in cybersecurity, entertainment, research, AI, so many different facets to Walter O'Brien, and it just continues to grow and expand. And certainly the plasticity in his own brain is off the charts because he is evolving. Every time I speak with you, Walter, there's something new, bigger, better, and brighter to help our community. Even though it's based on logic, I'm on the opposite side. It's based on gratitude and love and forgiveness as well. So somewhere there's some synergy or symbiosis between the two, which I'm going to set forth for your research team to figure out the reconciliation between emotion and logic. Seems like a plausible and great research that can be done in applied mathematics and physics as well. But my last question is self-serving. More people need Walter O'Brien in their life. How can people contact you and learn more about you and what you're doing?
Well, if they go to concierge.com, opposite of concierge down, they can just type in whatever their problem is. And we help a lot of entrepreneurs and business people, especially when, you know, their business is growing rapidly and maybe they're right brain dominant. So they're very good at marketing and sales, but all the operations and dotting the I's and crossing the T's and the contracts and insurance and security and watching their back and quality assurance, all that goes out the window or got outsourced to some other country that they don't care about. And that eventually bites them in the butt and causes them to either be fired by their investors or go bankrupt, be sued, be hacked, have their ideas stolen, etc. Because they're doing offense with no defense. And we are the defense. We're the left brainers that you bring in to shore up all of that stuff. So you have a company that not only runs well without having fires every week breaking out, but also would pass an audit if you want to sell it. So we prep companies as well for sale. And I end up coaching a lot of the CEOs so they can have peace of mind and structure how to scale things up themselves. And even if they never sell the business, it should always be run as if they're going to, because that just means they're applying best practice to it and they have a lot less surprises. So the consistent message I get back from worn, tired out founders after 6 months plus with us is that now they can sleep. Now they have time with their family. Now they got to take a vacation and not spend the whole vacation on their cell phone talking to the office. So we bring in, you know, governance and structure and the things we learned from the Fortune 1000, but we can right size it down to a company as small as 20 or 30 people and let them cherry pick all the benefits of those best practices. Those things exist for a good reason. And running everything by the seat of your pants on tribal knowledge doesn't work when you get beyond five people.
It's time to level up with concierge.up. He is amazing. Walter O'Brien, aka the Scorpion, he's been a friend and has changed the world on so many different levels from early on go ahead, do and go down the rabbit hole of Walter O'Brien. Is an amazing story. That's why they based our favorite TV show about the man and the legend, Walter O'Brien. Thanks for joining us here on Office Hours.